Imagine yourself in a world where even the most basic choices are controlled by an indelible mark, the mark of the beast. Think of a father, after a long day's work, discovering that he cannot buy the essentials for his family unless he submits to this mark. Envision a mother, in the sublime moment of childbirth, being told that milk for her newborn will only be accessible if she accepts this condition. This scenario is not mere fiction. In the video I am about to share with you, a future is revealed where many will choose to accept the mark of the beast, while others will refuse, even at a high personal cost. Many like to believe that, when faced with the decision to swear allegiance to the Antichrist or reject him, they would choose freedom and integrity. But what if the choice were between allegiance to evil or losing all the conveniences of modern life? Without the mark, there would be no home to live in, no supermarket to buy food, no public transport available. The book of Revelation, chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, warns us about this decisive moment. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, so that no one could buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Five things you need to know about the mark of the beast. Number one, loyalty. Understanding the mark of the beast requires a journey into the past, harking back to an era where loyalty was not just a matter of patriotism, but also of faith and spiritual submission. This concept is not a novelty of the apocalyptic future, but a shadow of the past, when the Roman Empire required absolute loyalty from its citizens, both politically and religiously. Swearing fidelity to Rome meant adhering fully to its laws and decrees, including those of a religious nature. The Antichrist, upon revealing himself to the world, will establish a similar system, marked not only by the imposition of a law, but by the establishment of a new world order where participating in society requires the acceptance of a mark, a symbol of total loyalty and submission. This gesture, although seeming to be a mere formality to facilitate transactions such as buying and selling, in fact, is an act of swearing fidelity to the Antichrist himself. Revelation 14, verses 9 and 10 warn us about the gravity of this choice. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath." This biblical passage highlights not only the spiritual consequences of this loyalty to evil, but also the eternal punishment that awaits those who choose to follow the Antichrist, being tormented in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The mark of the beast is much more than a means to a convenient or materially secure life. It is a symbol of where our true loyalty lies. Number two, the mark. The enigmatic nature of the mark of the beast fuels a cauldron of theories and speculations, with many questioning not just its form, but also its intrinsic function in a world increasingly dominated by advanced technology. While no one knows for sure how this mark will present itself, the possibilities raised are both intriguing and alarming. Some believe it could take the form of a small digital chip or a radio frequency identification tag, both technologies capable of being implanted under the skin. The book of Revelation in chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, brings clarity about the imposition of this mark, stating that it forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one could buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number that represents its name. This passage suggests that the Antichrist will establish a comprehensive economic system, likely supported by the growing wave of digitalization and globalization of financial markets. The advancement of digital currencies, artificial intelligence, and the integration of global markets indicate that we are moving towards a scenario where a global monetary system is not only possible, but also likely. In this scenario, The mark of the beast would not only be a means of spiritual control, but also a practical mechanism of absolute economic power, allowing the Antichrist an unprecedented ability to control commercial transactions on a global scale. Number three, the persecution. In times of great tribulation, as described in the prophecies of Revelation, Christians will face immense challenges that will test the depth of their faith and the steadfastness of their convictions. When the Antichrist rises to power, the dilemma presented will be grim and straightforward: worship the beast or face death. Revelation 13 verse 15 warns us that the image of the beast will be endowed with speech and power, and that all those who refuse to worship this image will be eliminated. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast could speak and cause all who did not worship the image of the beast to be killed. This period of persecution is vividly illustrated in Revelation 2 verse 10, where Christians are told not to fear the imminent adversities. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil will throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This passage not only reinforces the reality of the upcoming persecution, but also promises an eternal reward for those who remain steadfast in their faith until the end. The pressure to conform to the demands of the Antichrist will be overwhelming. Families will be divided, and the pain of seeing loved ones choose the mark and consequently turn away from God will be unbearable. The decision to accept the mark is in essence a rejection of God and an abandonment of eternal salvation. On the other hand, rejecting the mark will result in an existence marked by social and economic exclusion. Without the mark, Christians will not be able to buy or sell. Many will face hunger and homelessness. Daily life will become a constant struggle, not just for physical survival, but also for spiritual integrity. This scenario, although hypothetical, serves to illustrate the severity and seriousness of the challenges that believers may face during the reign of the Antichrist. It is a poignant reminder that faith, in times of crisis, becomes both a refuge and a battlefield, where every decision and every action can have eternal consequences. Number four, the great evil. During the reign of the Antichrist, the world will witness levels of evil unprecedented. Matthew 24 verses 15 and 16 warn us about an event of profound spiritual gravity. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. This abomination of desolation symbolizes an act of great wickedness and disrespect, capable of provoking disgust and horror, marking a state of destruction and spiritual emptiness. Jesus, in uttering these words, not only predicted a physical calamity, but also alerted to a deep spiritual crisis, where the sacred would be profaned in an abject manner, urging the faithful to seek refuge and protection in the face of imminent moral and physical destruction. Furthermore, the Antichrist will not only openly challenge God with blasphemies against the divine, but will also seek to replace the worship due to God with idolatry of himself. The Bible recounts that he will suffer a deadly wound from which he will miraculously recover, an event that many will misinterpret as a divine sign, further increasing the idolatry surrounding his figure. In 2 Timothy 3, we find a description of the human heart. In the days leading up to the end times, people will be selfish, lovers of themselves, corrupt, and devoid of any genuine piety. They will have only a form of godliness, but will deny the true transformative power of God in their lives. This will be a time when society is saturated with narcissism and egocentrism, amplifying the evil that permeates the world under the rule of the Antichrist. The fifth and final thing you need to know is that when the Antichrist is revealed, the end will be near, and the glorious return of Jesus will be closer than ever. The unfolding of the revelation of the Antichrist marks the beginning of the tribulation, a critical period in the biblical narrative that signals the final years of human history. This time is meticulously divided into two distinct phases. The first half, known simply as the tribulation, lasts 3.5 years, followed by the Great Tribulation, which also extends for another 3.5 years. These 7 years represent the tumultuous reign of the Antichrist, culminating in the epic Battle of Armageddon. The Bible describes how demonic spirits will summon world leaders and their armies to Armageddon, the final setting of a definitive celestial war. John, in Revelation 19, offers us a powerful vision of this moment. He sees the heavens opened and a white horse appear. Its rider is called Faithful and True, a just judge who wars with righteousness. His eyes are like flames of fire, and many crowns adorn his head, symbolizing his supreme sovereignty and authority. The name written, known only to him, underscores his mysterious and divine character. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, an image that reflects the seriousness and sacrifice involved in his mission. His title, the Word of God, affirms his identity as the divine manifestation, the Logos. He is followed by the celestial armies, all dressed in pure white linen, symbolizing holiness and purity. From the mouth of the rider proceeds a sharp sword, ready to strike down the nations and rule with an iron rod, a metaphor for his unbreakable and just governance. His robe and his thigh bear the inscription, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, proclaiming his supremacy over all earthly and heavenly powers. This will be the triumphant return of Jesus Christ, a moment that will mark the definitive victory of good over evil. The image of the white horse ridden by Jesus is a powerful symbolic representation of the sacred and pure power that he possesses. This power enables him to overcome evil forces with the supremacy of good. When Jesus returns, he will not come alone. He will be accompanied by the armies of heaven, comprised of angels led by Archangel Michael, along with the saints who will share in his glory. Unlike his first coming, where he presented himself as the Lamb of God, sacrificing himself on the cross for the salvation of humanity, his second coming will be marked by majestic authority. He will return as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the supreme authority destined to restore order and justice. In the final confrontation, as narrated in Revelation 19, from verse 19 to 21, Jesus and his heavenly army will face the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies, who will be gathered for the apocalyptic battle. The beast and the false prophet, who deceived many with false miracles and led people to accept the mark of the beast and to worship its image, will be captured. Both will be thrown alive into the burning lake of fire and sulfur, an eternal destiny of torment and divine rejection. The army of wrongdoers will be exterminated by the sharp sword that comes out of the mouth of the one who rides the white horse, symbolizing the irrefutable power of the divine word. The scene is completed with the image of vultures gorging on the corpses, a grim reminder of the consequences of evil and rebellion against the Lord. Before we proceed, it is essential to deeply reflect on two biblical passages that shed light on the nature of human choice and the importance of true obedience to God. These verses help us better understand the spiritual challenges we face and the decision each of us must make. The first verse is Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, which warns us, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Because narrow is the gate, and constricted is the path that leads to life, and few find it." This verse highlights the ease with which many choose the more comfortable and less demanding path, even though this path leads to destruction. The narrow gate, though less appealing and more challenging, is the one that leads to true life. The second verse, Matthew 7, from verse 21 to 23, reinforces this message with an even more direct warning. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This verse reminds us that true faith in Christ is demonstrated not just by words or outward signs of religiosity, but by a genuine commitment to doing the will of God. Both verses warn that, unfortunately, the majority of people will choose the path of ease and self-indulgence, leading to eternal perdition. Understanding the mark of the beast is essential to comprehend the events prophesied in the Bible related to the end times. The book of Revelation foresees a time when the Antichrist, establishing a global regime, will implement a system where everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, will be required to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. This mark symbolizes loyalty to the beast and will be indispensable for buying or selling. The biblical text specifies that the mark could be the name of the beast or the number of its name. The exact nature of this mark remains uncertain. It could be a physical chip implanted under the skin, a digital identifier, or even a barcode. Regardless of its form, the mark will be a reality that many will accept, largely due to the conditions imposed by the Antichrist that will make life extremely difficult without it. Imagine scenarios where all major institutions, such as banks and hospitals, require the mark to access essential services like healthcare or financial transactions. Imagine being unable to make mortgage or rent payments without this mark. The pressure to conform will be immense. Daily activities, such as grocery shopping or acquiring any essential item, will require the presentation of this specific mark. Those who refuse to submit to the Antichrist will find themselves, in a way, isolated and excluded from life's basic necessities. Under such conditions, many may find the pressures unbearable and, in a desperate act of survival, choose to accept the mark, even knowing that it means selling their souls. The spread of the Antichrist's deceptive message may be anchored in distinct theories, each highlighting the profound strategies he will use to seduce and dominate the masses in times of extreme crisis. Theory of economic crisis. One possible approach is the exploitation of a catastrophic economic collapse. Imagine a scenario where global financial systems completely fail, creating a vacuum of power and stability that cries out for a quick and comprehensive solution. In this context, the Antichrist would emerge as an economic savior, promising restoration and security through a new global financial system, which would require the adoption of his mark. Revelation 13. Verses 16 and 17 warn us about this moment, indicating that no one will be able to buy or sell without this mark. This manipulation is not just a matter of financial control, but an authoritarian imposition disguised as efficiency, where compliance is not a choice, but an obligation for participation in the restructured society. Theory of persecution and forced loyalty. The second theory focuses on resistance and persecution. The Antichrist, in direct opposition to everything Christ represents and divine values, will persecute those who reject his mark. Daniel 7 verse 25 predicts that he will speak against the Most High and persecute the saints, trying to change the established times and laws. During his reign, which will last a time, times, and half a time, there will be an intensification of persecution against Christians. This persecution will not only be a reflection of the Antichrist's hatred for godly things, but also a deliberate strategy to eradicate any resistance to his totalitarian authority. These theories not only expose the malicious nature of the Antichrist, but also underline the importance of being firmly rooted in faith and prepared to face great adversities. Revelation 20 verse 4 offers a striking view of the fate of those who remain faithful to God and resist the oppression of the Antichrist. The verse describes how I saw thrones, and those seated on them were given authority to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This passage not only highlights the brutality of the persecution awaiting those who choose to stand firm in their faith, but also emphasizes the eternal reward awaiting them. Those who are martyred for their refusal to submit to the beast and its image are described as having a part in the first resurrection, where they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years, a period known as the millennium. This is a powerful testimony of the final victory of justice and truth over evil. The characteristics and ultimate fate of the Antichrist are themes that permeate biblical teachings, offering serious warnings and at the same time, hope for the faithful. Here are some important insights to consider when reflecting on this prophetic figure. First, deceptive charisma. The Antichrist will be an extremely charismatic leader, capable of captivating crowds with his eloquence and charm. However, behind this magnetic facade, he will be propelled by a diabolical force. 1 John 2 verse 18 warns us about the many Antichrists that have arisen, foreshadowing the deep deception the true Antichrist will bring. History shows us that charismatic leaders can indeed lead people down terribly destructive paths. Second, master of deception. In 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 9 and 10, Paul speaks to us about the falsely miraculous signs and wonders that the Antichrist will use to deceive people. These illusions will be so convincing that many will believe them to be supernatural, akin to the tricks of an illusionist, but on a much grander and perilous scale. Third, direct opposition to Christ. The term Antichrist literally means one who opposes Christ. The Antichrist will stand in direct opposition to everything Jesus represents. 1 John 2, verse 22, tells us that the Antichrist will deny both the Father and the Son, rejecting Jesus' divinity and openly challenging Christian teachings. Fourth, final destiny of defeat. Despite his apparent strength and period of success, the Antichrist's ultimate fate is defeat and judgment. Revelation 19 verse 20 reveals that the beast, along with the false prophet, will be captured and thrown into the lake of fire. This destiny underscores Jesus Christ's definitive victory over the forces of evil. And the beast was captured, and with it, the false prophet who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. These points emphasize the importance of vigilance and unwavering faith amidst times of deception and tribulation. The Antichrist may pose a significant threat, but the central message of the Bible is clear. Jesus Christ, the Almighty, has already triumphed over evil, ensuring hope and salvation for those who believe and remain faithful until the end. In the spiritual battle between good and evil, it is crucial to remember that, although the Antichrist may wield significant power on earth, ultimate power belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the Almighty, with absolute authority both in heaven and on earth. This contrast between the temporary influence of evil and the eternal dominion of good is a source of great comfort and strength for believers. 1 John 4 verse 4 assures us, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." This passage highlights that the Holy Spirit residing in each believer is more powerful than any evil force present in the world. The secret to facing and overcoming spiritual adversities lies in keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, saturating our hearts with the gospel, and anchoring our minds in the Word of God. By firmly holding on to the truth of the gospel and the transformative power of the Word, we are equipped to resist all attempts of the enemy to lead us astray from the path of righteousness. No matter the power the enemy may temporarily possess, with God by our side, we are capable of overcoming all adversities. In the spiritual battle between good and evil, it is crucial to remember that, although the Antichrist may wield significant power on earth, Ultimate power belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the Almighty, with absolute authority both in heaven and on earth. This contrast between the temporary influence of evil and the eternal dominion of good is a source of great comfort and strength for believers. 1 John 4 verse 4 assures us, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." This passage highlights that the Holy Spirit residing in each believer is more powerful than any evil force present in the world. The secret to facing and overcoming spiritual adversities lies in keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, saturating our hearts with the gospel, and anchoring our minds in the Word of God. By firmly holding on to the truth of the gospel and the transformative power of the Word, we are equipped to resist all attempts of the enemy to lead us astray from the path of righteousness. No matter the power the enemy may temporarily possess, with God by our side, we are capable of overcoming all adversities. The description of the global monetary system under the rule of the Antichrist is one of the most alarming predictions found in the Book of Revelation. This system implies not only a centralization of economic control, but also symbolizes complete submission to the authority of the Antichrist, requiring everyone, rich and poor alike, to receive a mark on the right hand or forehead in order to buy or sell. This mark is not just a means of economic control, but a clear symbol of allegiance to the Antichrist. The implementation of a single monetary system is a direct threat to individual freedom, as it ties all economic transactions to the acceptance of a dictatorial global order. Dependency on this system for daily needs places everyone under the shadow of an authority that is antithetical to the teachings of Christ. However, the scriptures offer us not only warnings, but also encouragement. God has revealed these truths to us in advance to prepare us, not to frighten us. He has given us His Word so that we may be equipped with discernment and wisdom, able to live in the light of the truth revealed in the Bible. Knowing the truth, we are strengthened against the lies and deceptions of the Antichrist. In 1 John 4, verses 3 and 4, we are reminded of the presence and influence of the spirit of the Antichrist, which already operates in the world. This verse encourages us, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." The influence of the spirit of the Antichrist in the modern world is evident in the growing moral relativism that overturns traditional conceptions of good and evil. This is a direct reflection of the deceiving and corrupting power of this spirit, which lays the groundwork for broader acceptance of its lies in the future. However, as believers, we have the ultimate advantage of possessing the truth on our side, anchored in the redeeming figure of Jesus, the true Lamb of God. To resist the deceptions of the Antichrist, it is essential that we delve into the Word of God and prayer. These spiritual practices strengthen our faith and prepare us to stand firm until the end. The Word of God is clear in warning us about the final challenges and the eternal rewards that await those who persevere in faith. The Bible calls us to awaken to the reality that there are eternal consequences for our earthly choices. Hebrews 3 verse 12, for instance, offers a solemn warning. "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." This verse is not just a reminder of the need for vigilance, but also a call to reflect on the condition of our hearts and faith. Let me explain why unbelief is so detrimental to a Christian. In Matthew 13, upon returning to his hometown, Jesus began teaching in the synagogue. Verse 58 reports that he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Think about it. Not a single miracle was performed due to lack of faith. Unbelief hindered the manifestation of mighty works. For this reason, Paul warns us about the danger of having an unbelieving heart. A heart filled with unbelief rejects the will and power of God, diminishing his glory and denying who the Lord truly is. Therefore, be watchful, people of God, and take care that none of you develop a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns you away from the living God. Before moving forward with the next information, it's necessary to provide context. The children of Israel were delivered from captivity and slavery. They witnessed astounding miracles of God, like the parting of the Red Sea. By day, God led them through a pillar of cloud, and by night, through a pillar of fire to illuminate their way. They were sustained with manna from heaven. Yet even seeing divine power, the Israelites still rebelled, murmured, and complained against God. In the New Testament, the author of Hebrews warns us in chapter 3 about the importance of not hardening our hearts when we hear God's voice, as happened in the rebellion. Those who rebelled were those whom Moses led out of Egypt, and who displeased God for 40 years, those who sinned and whose bodies fell in the wilderness. The warning is for us not to become cold and insensitive to the divine voice amidst the chaos and confusion of the world. The Spirit of the Lord still calls us and knocks at our hearts. To have a hardened heart means to be insensitive to the beauty and glory of God, pursuing personal desires at the expense of divine things. Fortunately, by His mercy, God is willing to transform our hearts. The third warning we need to consider is in Hebrews 2 verse 1, which emphasizes the importance of paying closer attention to what we have heard to avoid drifting away. The Amplified Translation further clarifies this verse, pointing out that because of God's final revelation in His Son Jesus and the superiority of Jesus over the angels, we must be even more attentive to the messages heard, so as not to drift away from the fundamental truth of the Bible. The text warns us about the need to remain faithful to the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel. In today's world, we will encounter people who offer a diluted version of the gospel, one that doesn't require repentance, commitment, or self-denial, but rather a gospel that is pleasing to hear and makes one feel good, yet lacks transformative power or challenge. We must be vigilant not to drift away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which challenges and convicts us, leading to a change in our sinful habits and genuine repentance. It is essential that as saints, we repent and turn away from sin.